Hello, everyone, and welcome to the SVGB podcast, also known as the Super Video Game Bros podcast. My name is Kevin. We have Joey. We have Steven.
Hey.
And we have been MIA for a little bit due to me being at Universal Studios Horror Nights.
Horror Nights.
And me and Steven being at the Portland Retro Video Game Expo.
Yes.
But now we are back.
We are back.
We're back with Joey, more importantly.
Yes. Yes.
It's been a couple weeks without Joe.
It's been 2 weeks.
How's everything going, Joe? Everything good? The rash, go away?
Pretty good. No, I'm still having a little rash, you know. Thank you for remembering.
No problem. I was worried about you the whole trip, man.
It's still itchy, though.
It's itchy. Scratching. So we went to, Steven and I and a few other friends went to the Portland Retro Gaming, Retro Video, whatever. It's over. I don't care anymore.
Retro Gaming Expo.
There you go. Retro in Portland. Gaming. And it was fantastic.
It was. It was a really good time.
Yeah, it was. Tell me about it, Steve.
Well, it's in Portland, and it's a retro gaming expo that happens every year, and this was the 10th year. And this is our first time attending, and it was fantastic. It was like a retro gaming expo, what you expect to be. All the other ones we were going to were good. Well, Game On was very good. Let me correct myself there. But the ones in the previous years weren't that great. They weren't living up to par or the hype. But this one's very good, and we'll be going every year from now on. But all of us went, like 10 of us went altogether?
Yeah, there was about 10
of you guys. Yeah.
So it was
Joey. It was a say it every time.
10 minus 1.
Because
yes.
I'm sad.
It was a fun trip, just because we were all involved somehow, and we all got to experience on our own. Mm-hmm. We all kind of wandered off, too, and did our own thing as well. That was mm-hmm. also cool. But it was amazing. I was able to get 58 more complete in box games for my collection.
Jesus.
Wow.
Just a few?
Just a couple.
Just a couple suitcases just a worth. Couple.
Yeah.
So I would have bought more. I wish I would have drove over there because I could have got a lot for the store. That would have been really cool.
There was a lot of
deals.
Good stuff mm-hmm. there.
And everybody wanted to just get rid of stuff at the last day because mm-hmm. they didn't want to, you know, pack it up and carry it on all the way back.
Exactly.
For whatever destinations they came from. But it was really nicely done. I'm going to applaud them because everything was nice and tight. Mm-hmm. No hiccups, no issues whatsoever. And Portland is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Me and Chris and Matt were walking to the expo one morning, and it felt like I was a little kid walking to school. Because, like, it's just the cold, the greenery like we used to have, you know, in California.
Like we used to have.
We used to have.
It's like we used
so
to.
Sad.
And everything's brown, so and everything's no green, and there's dirt yeah. lawns, and it's just that's how it is. We don't get as much water here anymore. Mm-hmm. But over there, it was just so fresh. The air, everything. People were so nice. There was, like, a different yeah. tempo there.
It was, I mean, I've never experienced bad driving like that, but... People did not know how to drive, but the weather was flawless, and I didn't see the sun once. I don't think we saw the sun.
Yeah, it was overcast most of the time.
I just think that's the way it is.
I'll take it.
It was great. There was a Madonna concert when we were there.
That's right.
A Madonna concert?
Yeah, right down the streets at the Rose Garden, or it's called the Mondo Center now or something like that, where the Trailblazers play.
That makes sense why those hotels book so fast, because I booked them in advance, and I was mm-hmm. like, what? You're booking already? We only got the ones one bed each.
Yeah, and that was my second retro video game convention that I've been to, but it was extraordinary. It was so good.
Yeah.
Everyone was so nice, and everyone was very helpful. They were willing to talk to you about their games instead of just, you know, giving you one-word answers, and everybody was just very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great experience. People were from the East Coast. People came from everywhere.
Yep.
To have booths there and to shop there.
Full of happy people.
Yeah, it was good.
Full of collectors that, you know, love the stuff.
Mm-hmm. A lot of smelly nerds.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that, man.
Yeah. Say smelly
nerds. I was walking into pockets, bro.
Smelly nerds.
Let's just say if it was hot, it would have been awful.
Shit.
Yeah. Okay. It was cold and they smell, but they're very nice people.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely a great experience, and they had a huge section... Like half of a Costco size of a free arcade. And
that place was Costco size, though.
Yeah, it was huge. It was huge. And they had a lot of free games to play, including pinball arcade and like everything from Atari up to, I think, like Xbox was the newest thing I saw.
Yeah, Tetris World Champions over there.
Which was awesome.
That was really cool to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was on they put it on a big projector on the wall.
That's awesome.
And they had the person's face.
That's awesome.
And their Tetris.
Yeah, so basically they had this camera zoomed in on these guys' faces, which is super awkward.
It's on a big screen.
On at least like a 100-plus-inch wall. Yeah, so you get on these people's faces, which is kind of awkward.
The auction was interesting.
Smelling nerds. Yeah, you can smell them through the projection. It was, yeah. Then we went to an auction. Mm-hmm. A lot of cool stuff was there. A lot of dev kits for DS. Hmm. There was a dev kit for Xbox. Was that a dev kit?
Yeah, but I got an issue with these auctions. Like, everything is going for more than what it's worth. You know, yeah. There's an auction every day, right, guys? It's called eBay.
Yeah.
Please do your research before bidding, because some of this stuff just got way overbidded.
Yeah.
And I know the rush of being an auction is fun and all, but I mean, it's kind of weird how they were doing that.
Well, yeah, and my other issue was they were telling you what they had up for auction, but they didn't really know about the product.
Yeah, that's another thing. They had no clue about the product. Mm-hmm. They didn't know if it worked.
Yeah, they didn't know if stuff worked.
Wow.
Granted, they could have been in a rush. Like, I don't know the situation, because everything else was perfectly planned.
Yeah.
So I don't know if maybe they just kind of left out a couple things, but a lot of the things they were like, it didn't come with the remote. We don't know if it works without the remote.
Yeah.
But, like, a lot of stuff like that. Like, like, does it work? I don't know. Cool.
Yeah, that's not cool if you're a vendor. Get your shit together.
Well, it's not cool if you're spending $700 or something.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
But a lot of cool stuff to see that I would never see in person. So that was really cool. Hmm. What else, man? Besides the food. I could do a whole food podcast right now. We ate some delicious ice. I ate candy corn ice cream, and it didn't taste like candy corn.
That ice cream place was awesome.
Ice cream.
Yes.
Never tried that.
Describe to me candy corn ice cream.
Yeah, it's candy corn ice cream. I mean, is it real candy corn?
No.
Or is it just the flavor?
It's not either. It's just something like what you want candy corn to taste like.
Yeah.
That's what it tasted like.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it didn't taste like wax sugar. It tastes like delicious ice cream.
Okay.
Yeah. I see.
Was it the same colors?
It was the same. Okay. Colors,
yeah. I chose to go vanilla route with the original cone.
But that wasn't normal vanilla.
So good.
That wasn't normal.
No, it wasn't. That was the best vanilla I ever had.
It was like a
it was
like
double
a
fold vanilla. That's what it said.
What,
yeah.
What is it?
And it was very hipster.
Oh, yeah. Hipster.
But it was called the salt and straw ice cream.
There you go.
But not only were they friendly, so this lady called me, my sister, Matt, and Chris. We all went together.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, you can try whatever you want. Like, don't worry about it. She basically like gave us a sampling of everything.
That's always nice. That was cool.
I didn't feel like a jerk for sampling ice cream, because usually I do. Like, I do like a one or two sample limit and I'm good.
Yeah.
But she was like, what do you want to try? Literally described everything in perfect detail.
Wow.
That's awesome.
There was a pear and gorgonzola ice cream, mm-hmm. which I would have eaten.
I wanted to try that place again, dude. I wish I would have.
Well, we were too full after Escape from New York Pizza that last time. Yeah, it was.
You went hard on pizza that last time.
We got three.
That place was packed and it was cold. That's how good that ice cream was.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a line.
That's how you know.
There's a line. Basically, everywhere we went to eat, there was like a wait.
Voodoo Donuts, way overrated.
Yeah, Voodoo Donuts is cool to go once. I would go there once. And yeah, for example, you order a donut topped with cereal, the cereal's stale.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah. That's what I predicted.
Yeah, so it's like,
well, you leave cereal out for like 5 minutes, it's destroyed.
Yeah.
Come on, you know me and my cereal.
Exactly. Eat a box.
We kill boxes at our house, dude.
And then they had the maple bacon, but they had like full strips of cold ass bacon.
Yeah, that was questionable. You even questioned Gabby on that one.
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, it's not right. I mean, their maple old fashioned was good.
Oh yeah, that's what
apple
I got.
Apple fritter was good.
I got the little dude, that little voodoo dude with the little pretzel stick.
Yeah, you kind of had to, yeah. As his peepee? Was his peepee his
No, he was stabbed with it like a steak.
Oh.
It's like voodoo, Tab. Voodoo.
Oh, I missaw. So, oops. That's why I went in with no hands and tried to eat it. That's why. The pretzel.
Do you see that dick? The dick donut?
I didn't see the dick donut.
Without hands.
Yeah, man. It was...
It was okay. It's a donut place. You can't fuck up donuts. But, I mean, it's nothing like where the ice cream place I thought was better.
Oh, God.
Ice cream place should be famous.
Yes,
not
it should.
Voodoo, right?
Yeah, it should be famous.
Thank you.
That was ridiculous. Yep. And then we walked by a cupcake and a popcorn shop that were right next to each other.
That's right. We didn't get to try that. I forgot about that place.
You just walked by it, and it made the whole downtown just smell like delicious.
There was not enough stomach for Portland.
Oh, God. I felt sick every night. Like,
and we stayed for 3-4 days, so we had time. We just...
ate too much.
So much choices.
Way too much food.
Oh, tell me about that buffet breakfast you went to.
Oh, it wasn't a buffet. It was called Slappy Cakes. So this is turning into a food podcast.
But absolutely. That's fine.
Keep going.
It's basically Korean barbecue for pancakes.
Hell yeah.
So you pick your pancake batter. Then you pick what you want to put in the pancake batter. Huh. And there's the grill in front of you, or the griddle, whatever
Instead of rice paper, do they have pancake paper?
They have. I wish they did. That'd be delicious. But then you just spray your batter on the griddle and you cook it yourself.
So awesome.
And they had, the seasonal was pumpkin pancakes, and oh my goodness. But they had chocolate, they had peanut butter, they had buttermilk, they had pumpkin. I guess the week before we got there, they had like a lemon zest pancake, which I heard was ridiculous. I put walnuts, whipped cream, and strawberry on mine. My brother had chocolate chips, whipped cream, and something else, and everyone had something different. Oh. And then I had country fried bacon.
What?
So it's country fried steak, you know that breading?
Yeah.
But on bacon.
Huh.
It hurt so bad. Like, I took a bite and I was like, ouch. Like, it just felt, I probably died, but that was really good. And
Super
it was,
Food Bros, the food podcast. God.
And then while we were waiting for Slappy Cakes, there was a macaroni and cheese food cart that I went to.
Man. I got those food carts, though. There was so many of them.
Oh, my God. It's like I'm getting a stomachache just thinking about all this stuff. But I got a penne with white cheese, jalapenos, and chicken with baked mozzarella on top of macaroni and cheese. Oh, my goodness. Oh, God.
So good.
I spent more money on food than video games.
I believe it.
Like, by far.
This is the first time we all came prepared financially, too.
Mm-hmm.
We all had fun.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, we did. We did it right.
Yeah, we really did.
We all did it right.
There's nothing I regret. Everything was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking destroyed it in sales. That was nice.
Yeah.
This was worth the trip as far as a business trip.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of tax write-offs. That'll be awesome later.
Yeah. Keep all of it, man.
Yep.
Keep all of it.
That video game Suburban was cool. Fit all of us.
Oh, yeah.
I've never driven a car that had that many people in
well,
there.
Well, Portland's not made for Suburbans.
No.
This was like a 2015 Suburban, which I didn't
so.
Even know they made.
It had to be. Yeah, exactly. Where do you see those in the streets?
Never. Huh. And it was... And surprisingly, we drove a lot, and we didn't use very much
gas. That's what I was telling Steve. It cost me $14 to fill up right before he dropped it off.
And we drove
a lot. Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's all. I thought we were going to have to pay like a
60
lot of
bucks.
Money.
Yeah, it's Suburban, but...
No,
something's happening, I guess.
Yeah, we did a little. It could have been like a hybrid. I don't know. Did a couple Ubers.
But the other thing we got video game related was that World Championship black cartridge that was made by Retro USB.
You got one?
Yes, I got one.
Awesome.
It's signed by the contestants and runner-ups and winner of the World Championship original one.
Really?
Yep. So Thor, Robin, Chris, and Vince were the four signatures on the back of that cartridge.
Awesome.
Really cool cartridge.
Awesome.
Even
I didn't
had
even
like
know
little
you got that.
Dip switches and everything for mm-hmm. But it's exactly like the World Championships that we played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just everything's dark, like nighttime Mario and nighttime.
That's so cool.
So
that's awesome.
Nighttime Tetris.
Yeah. I don't know about that one. I guess it's dark.
Like dark. Dark.
Or maybe it's light.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But so awesome. That was a cool pickup. It was $100, but it was well worth it because that's going to be an investment.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff I wanted. I wanted that NES Final Fantasy VII cart.
Yeah, that was way too much. I'll make you one. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I got you.
That was $125.
I don't know why that's so much.
But it was so pretty.
Everybody's making them. Or...
Well, it the case is what got me. Like
the white case?
It came in an awesome, like, half Disney case. You remember the old VHS Disney cases?
Oh,
yeah.
It kind of looked like that.
Those are easy to get, man.
Yeah,
get all that stuff.
Yeah, I know, but it was just so pretty, like, seeing it there.
You did a good
like,
job with it, right?
You did a great job with it.
You would have been in trouble if you were still in your collecting Final Fantasy phase.
Oh, it would have been... I mean, I was lucky enough to be in there before before the auction or the convention opened, so...
What did you get for yourself video game related? Nothing?
Nothing.
You just totally
I had to be. I couldn't, man.
Oh,
I got
man.
To be.
Well, I forgot. You got a Journey poster.
I got a Journey poster.
And a wooden plaque that had Chewbacca on a horse.
There was a wild stallion with Chewbacca in the foreground. And also Michael Jackson with his arm around E.T. with a nice cabin behind them. That's what I got at a video game convention, folks. That's what I spent my money on.
Nice.
Well.
Michael Jackson. Okay.
But I told Joey, I'm thinking about going retro. Just going to... slowly pick up stuff that I want to play and focus on retro, and then
that's why the industry of retro is picking up so fast, because the current next gen is failing us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's just being in a room with thousands of people who enjoy the same thing that you do was very refreshing.
Yeah.
It was very cool.
It was very happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Validating your collection and stuff. And meeting with people.
Yeah.
And I met a lot of people from Instagram, too. So that was pretty cool. It was great meeting everybody.
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh, you're Steve. I was like, well, you know me? It's so weird. It's like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool meeting everybody. Everybody was super nice and happy and just great. It was a good environment. Like, overall, the vendors were pretty fair in their prices.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple of vendors that were out of control. But I mean, overall, the majority were really fair in their prices. Mm-hmm. I mean, it got me to spend like over $1,000 on stuff.
Yeah. So every time Steve, I saw Steve leave his booth and then, and then 10 minutes later, he came back saying, they're thinking about a price. And I was like, what does that even mean? Like, I don't even know what that means. And then I follow him back to the booth and this guy's just got stacks of games, just counting and counting and counting, collects on complete Super Nintendo games. So that was cool.
Dude, they had so many great titles I needed. I spent a lot of money, but I saved myself probably at least like triple that.
Oh, just on shipping alone.
Not just shipping, but like they would sell games like a complete in box Baby Kids. Mm-hmm. You don't see too often. Mm-hmm. And they were selling that for like $20. Mm-hmm. The Jetsons I got for $40, and that's like $100 complete. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good deals like that. It was like 60% to 50% off. Too. Yeah, but I avoided those. Yeah. I avoided all that. I focused on, because they had a lot of stuff I needed, but it was faded. Mm-hmm. It sucked. But they got all this stuff from a rental place.
That's why, probably so. In the window.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah, but overall, it was one of the best trips I've ever taken. It was very cool to play a bunch of old games that I haven't played in a while, see a bunch of old games that I haven't seen, and yeah, it was
Dragon cool. Lair Arcade.
That was cool. Mm-hmm.
You don't see that too often.
No, and then you also saw people play it for 2 minutes and leave.
Yeah,
because you can't figure that game out.
Yeah, there's a lot of. I don't know if I'm happy. I think I am happy about a lot of younger kids. Mm-hmm. I would say like 15 or younger getting into the industry.
There's a lot of them.
They don't have no knowledge, so it's kind of scary. They have to be careful because there's a lot of reproduction and bullshit out there that they're not aware of.
Yeah.
A guy that bought our Aero Fighters mm-hmm. had no clue about it. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, would you like to see the board? And he's like, why would I want to do that? I was like, you're kidding me,
right?
By the
way, Aero Fighters is a $500 Super Nintendo game. Out of box.
Yeah, just a cart. And, you know, we offer the service of showing the boards because, you know, I'm a collector and I know how it feels to be reinsured on buying something that's authentic. Mm-hmm. And he was like, why? And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm thinking you should not be buying this if you don't know, like, about the pirating of this game. So I showed them, I educated them, and then they started speculating that it was fake. And they're like, I'm like, this is not fake, guys. I'm like, I'm helping you out. So it was like, it kind of backfired on me being nice. Mm-hmm. And I was they were going to back out in the sand. I was like, look. It's fine. I'm okay with that because you guys don't really have too much knowledge. And I think you got to build more knowledge on stuff before you go crazy on things.
You're spending $500,
but they still end up buying it. And it wasn't really a sales technique. I kind of wanted them not to get it because mm-hmm. it's like, you shouldn't be buying this game right now.
Yeah.
Do more research. Know what it's about. Know what you're getting into. Don't just buy stuff because it's hype.
Correct.
A lot of bandwagon collectors right now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's cool that everybody's learning like the industry and kind of learning all the retro stuff and what I grew up with. Mm-hmm. But they're never going to have the same effect that we have.
But also, not everyone's a game hunter. Just because you find a couple games here and there doesn't mean you're a game hunter.
Yeah, everybody thinks you're a game hunter. It's a scene.
Yeah.
And I'm a little annoyed by it. But, you know, it's okay. I'm glad that a new wave is learning as well.
Do you think it'll help you in the long run?
Of course.
Because of your knowledge and their lack of knowledge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. But it's a fad. So mm-hmm. it's like, you know, any other collecting, they're going to be over it and get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So that's going to happen for sure. So we're going to see like a big wave of people just dumping collections all at once. Mm-hmm. It'll be a little tiny crash in the market. Because the stuff that I used to find all day long they're gone.
Yeah.
So there's people hoarding everything. Everybody has a collection. Mm-hmm. Almost every kid has a retro gaming collection of some sort, you know, big or small. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's become a thing, man.
But I do like the fact, like you said, it's one of those things where I do like the fact that those 15-year-olds are into it.
Right. It's kind of nice.
It's cool. Instead of them playing crappy Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed, et cetera, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But it's cool to see them pick up a Dreamcast controller and be like, what's this? And then they play it and then they're like, I want this. Like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. I want to play this. Mm-hmm. Because the games are awesome. And I really hope that this younger generation catches on to that and starts playing them.
Yeah, it seems like they are. Mm-hmm. It seems like they are. They just...
Because chiptune is actually helping. The chiptune scene is helping a lot. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I'm sure that we'll is see. Too. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool for a whole new generation to learn this. Because mm-hmm. my concern was like, after we get older, who's going to care about it? Mm-hmm. So it seems like it's going to be like a trendy thing and something that's ongoing.
Yeah, it'll rise and fall, mm-hmm. you know, throughout the years like it always has.
Mm-hmm. But it's definitely, it's at its moment right now, it feels like.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. I think it's at its peak, mm-hmm. for sure. It's at its moment. Like, everybody loves it. Everybody's about it.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, the good thing about you is, with Super Video Game Bros, you know, clean and make sure this stuff works. Which at the convention, I saw a lot of dirty stuff.
Yeah, I even got questioned if my stuff was authentic.
Yeah.
Because it was reprint labels? And I was like, no, they're just clean. Yeah, dude.
Party spec?
Yeah, because a lot of his, you know, 25-year-old games looked like repo carts because they're that clean.
Yeah. Because we clean them and test them and everything. We brought our best stuff over there. Mm-hmm. And everything was just mint and clean.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Matt said he literally blew dust off of something.
Yeah, like,
But he was like blew dust. So.
Wow.
Yeah, just take a little care of your stuff and don't put coffee on it and don't use it as coasters.
Don't leave it in the sun.
Yeah, just little things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like a lot of vendors still fail to see that, but you know, it's okay. It's good for me.
Well, the problem is if people are buying, then they're not going to change what they're doing.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I love what you do to your carts and they're beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm here today.
Sweet.
It's all your fault.
Yep.
Jerk.
Gotcha.
So you yourself are starting a retro video game convention. Tell us about it.
Yeah. It's going to be the next retro gaming convention coming up in January. The end of January 30th and 31st. It's going to be SoCal Retro Gaming Expo. And you can check up our website. This first year, we're going to be doing a free admission expo.
Awesome.
We're also working on a VIP package. It's going to not be free, but it'd be limited to like 30 to 50 people. And we're going to have a meet and greet with all the talent, such as like Patty and His Punk and Gamester Anyone, possibly. Mm-hmm. We're working on it. Still not a for sure thing. But we're going to also add a few other things to that package as well. Mm-hmm. But we're looking at it for it to be a really big deal. A lot of people out of the state are signing up, and I haven't really tapped into the California state yet. And it's in California, so it's a no-brainer for anybody that has a business of video games to be in
Exactly.
it. So it's going to be a pretty, pretty big deal. And I think Frankenstein will be open both days, Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I don't know if that's a bad or good thing because of parking. But after this year, guys, we're going to be moving to a different venue. Mm-hmm. We're already looking into Pomona Fairfax.
Oh, excellent. So I get a tattoo and...
No,
tattoo. Dang it. Dang it.
We're looking at that, our Anaheim Convention Center, and there's just different things we could do as far as growing forward, but this one's going to be huge. The first year will be really good, but eventually this expo is going to be just as big as Portland's because there's more people here.
Yeah,
30% of the attendants that went to Portland were from California, so I mean, what's that tell you?
Excellent. So the SoCal Retro Gaming Expo in Southern California at Frankenstein's on January 30th and 31st, so make sure you guys come. It is free. So please have fun there. Sweet. All right. So enough food and old game stuff, old, super old stuff.
Super old.
Let's talk about PlayStation.
PlayStation 1?
All of it.
Really? You know, all of PlayStation?
We'll say PlayStation 1 and we'll talk about all of it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'll start with 1 and we'll see where we go from there. Yeah.
PlayStation changed my life, man. It really did.
How so?
Being able to... Well, first of all, just the creation of the disc, CD.
Yeah, the CD.
The CD. Putting that into a home console with that beautiful startup screen.
That beautiful sound in the beginning.
Oh, my God. That sound still is music to my soul. Yes. It's so pretty.
Yes.
And then seeing the graphics, because it came out the same time as the Nintendo 64 or around the same time.
Right.
And seeing the difference in graphics and what could be. And the multiple discs was a big deal to me.
It was the CG cutscenes that changed the game.
Oh, cutscenes.
Yeah, it was the cutscenes.
That changed the game.
Yeah.
Like, that was like, wow. Mm-hmm. Everything we saw. And we just like, full attention. Mm-hmm. And those back then, you couldn't pause. So you just sit and watch. You're like.
You had to.
Yeah.
It was just awesome.
Forced to watch.
Yeah.
It was really good. Like, all the Final Fantasy cutscenes were really great. Mm-hmm. I thought Final Fantasy IX had the best cutscenes.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful.
But that's when I really got into all the Final Fantasies. That's when I really got into RPGs, hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was into RPGs, but I was like, yeah, this one was hard. Like, nothing but. Like, right after another. Legend of Dragoon, Wild Guns, like, just Wild Arms. I mean, it's just right after another. Great games.
Yeah.
Great stories.
Final Fantasy VII, the only reason I bought that game is because it came with 3 discs.
Only.
Because I was like, it comes with 3 discs, it has to be awesome. Like... I don't think I ever played like a real RPG. I played like Super Mario RPG, little things here and there, but I don't think I ever played like a JRPG. I played the other Final Fantasies, but didn't get them.
The ones for Nintendo?
Yeah.
Super Nintendo?
Oh. Yeah. And Final Fantasy VII was very accessible. The tutorials were great. Everything was set out for you. And I don't even know how old I was. What year did that game come out?
97 or 98.
Yeah, I think it was 98.
So I was either 12 or 13. And I think I got it on my 13th birthday.
Hmm.
And that game, it destroyed me. That game literally destroyed me because of how awesome it was.
Metal Gear.
Metal Gear.
That was huge, too.
Oh, that intro, dude, coming up in the elevator. Just seeing the colors and everything. The
music.
And everything.
Boss fights.
Boss fights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, PlayStation changed a lot for me. It brought video gaming to epic scale, and it justified 3D gaming for a lot of games.
It did. It did. I think Nintendo 64 was the, can this work? And then PlayStation was the, yes.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Yes, it can. Yeah.
I mean, Nintendo could have did the same thing if they had disc as well. I think they should have went disc instead of cartridge.
The whole partnership between Sony and 64.
Well, they created PlayStation.
Sony created PlayStation, yeah.
Nintendo
created PlayStation. Yeah. I mean, so that's the best way to put it.
They did.
Yeah.
They really did.
That's crazy. What are your first PlayStation memories, Jeff?
Metal Gear. Mm-hmm. But the very first game I ever played for PlayStation was Resident Evil.
Oh, God.
And
yes.
That one changed my life because I believe that was one of the first horror games that came out.
Horror games.
And I grew up, you know, watching Friday 13th, Halloween, you know, all the classics.
You have terrible parents, Joey.
No.
You were a child watching.
I love them. But, when I first played Resident Evil, I had no idea what it was about. Mm-hmm. You know, you put the game in, and it shows you the mansion. It shows you the cutscene.
Can we talk about that intro for a moment?
Yes, let's go deeper into
it. Of how beautiful that intro was. It looked like it was filmed on, like, a public access channel with, like, the worst camcorders you could ever use.
And don't forget the actors. Oh. The acting in it.
Jill Valentine. She's like, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, that intro got me pumped for that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
It worked back then.
Oh, you can't do that now.
No,
you can't.
It worked back then.
It'll be a parody now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was that bad to where that would be a joke now.
Yeah.
So did you hear somebody modded the Resident Evil remake with the original voice acting?
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so check that out. That'd be right up your alley.
Okay.
Blood.
So it's all the new graphics, but with the old audio.
Correct.
That's awesome.
Correct.
That is awesome.
Which is awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So you walk up to the mansion.
It shows you the whole cutscene, the characters and everything. And then they're running away from something.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go inside, you look around. And then the first cutscene you come across is the zombie cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first seen that, it scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, man.
I didn't want to play it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you?
I was,
probably like 10.
I was like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Or 11. I was young. Yes, yeah. I was young. But, after I seen it, it scared me, but it also got me hooked.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, like, what's... Because, again, this was the first cutscene that I've seen. On 64, I played Mario 64, and I played... Banjo-Kazooie,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have cutscenes. Like, mm-hmm. they do, but it's not as dramatic.
Well, it's not that cutscene.
Well, no, it's not, obviously. Yeah. But the Resident Evil, I mean, the way he turns his head and the music and everything, it seemed like it could have been an animated movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that just changed my whole interest in the whole, you know, cutscenes and the games and everything. So, that game was... my first PlayStation, and it, you know, got me, what is it?
It got you hooked.
It got me hooked, but it got me, it was like my life, I don't want to say, it was like, you know, virginizing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it really popped me.
It broke your CG cherry, man.
Yes, it did. Yeah. It did, and it got me hooked. I wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
So then I put time into Metal Gear, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many games.
Yes, the Tony Hawk
for PlayStation.
Amazing.
Yeah, man.
I like Tony Hawk. I like the first Tony Hawk on 64, though.
I didn't play that one.
I never played it on 64.
I played it on PlayStation.
Why? Because I think, could you use the joystick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had to use a joystick on that.
It was really cool.
That was tough.
But I did play the rest on PlayStation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I played the first Tony Hawk's. And those games were awesome back in the time.
The soundtrack.
Yeah, the soundtrack.
Once you get real band music into your game... And at the time, that was everything I was listening to.
Mm.
It was like the punk and ska era for me. So that was really awesome. And then it had, like, I think Public Enemy, which is even more cool at the time. Oh, man, dude. Yeah, They did a lot. It was the disc. The disc.
Yeah, race. It was all the
Symphony
discs.
Of the Night.
Symphony of the Night.
Castlevania.
That was another game that's like, wow.
Symphony of the Night. That's two games in one, and people don't even realize it. That shit turns upside
down.
Turns
upside down, yep.
It just turns into a completely different game. And at the time, that was... Nobody knew about that. That's...
Yeah.
If you get the wrong ending, you think you beat the game, and that's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
The game was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you have... One of my first games... I bought three games... Fade to Black, awful. Star Wars something.
Phantom Menace.
No, it was way before that.
No, oh, okay.
There's a stormtrooper on the cover.
Oh.
Oh, I think Assault.
Dark somethings.
Star Wars.
Dark Force.
Dark Force.
Oh, okay.
Dark Force.
Okay.
And that was the first person, and it was to me it was beautiful because it wasn't as like rugged. As like a Doom, it was clear, like you could see everything, and that was really cool.
I didn't get PlayStation right away. You got it right at launch, so those are all launch
titles?
We got
it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I bought Tekken 2. Tekken 2 was awesome. And I thought I was good at it because I could only play the computer, and then people would come over and destroy me. Because there's no way to play it. But yeah, man, it just... then you had a lot of the light gun games. You had Time Crisis.
I missed out on those.
Oh, dude, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were awesome, man.
Those are good ports, dude.
Yeah.
All the Time Crisis, and you had Point Blanks.
Vampire Hunters.
Vampire Hunters on PlayStation. Vampire Hunter?
Vampire Hunter?
Vampire Knight.
Vampire Knight,
that's
yeah.
on PlayStation 2.
One of them. Yeah.
One of them.
Anything with a light gun
Assault
is my
Ninjas, too.
Yeah, it's good. Can we talk about Resident Evil 2 really fast?
Resident Evil 2.
Tell me about it, Joe.
Let me see. The first time I came across that one, I was at my friend's, and I had no idea it came out. Mm-hmm. So when he was playing it, I thought it was like another chapter of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching him, and he was getting to the city with all the zombies.
Was he playing with Leon? Or
he was Claire? Playing with Leon, okay. Yeah. And he was in with all the zombies and the fires, and I thought that was like the most craziest thing I seen, that right away when I went home... I had to rent it to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's better than the first one.
I think so.
I don't know.
I'm going to say yes.
I love the first one.
Part twos are always better than the first one.
Because they learned from their
RoboCop,
mistakes.
RoboCop 1, better than RoboCop 2. Come on. Come on, man.
Talking about video games.
Yeah, Batman 2, Batman 1, better than Batman 2. I'm just, you know.
Mega Man 2, Mega Man 1.
Yeah, well, 2's way better.
That's true. Mega Man 2. Going back to Resident Evil.
Well, Resident Evil 2, the moment you walk into the city, and I think there's like four zombies attacking you.
Yeah.
To have that many things on one screen, like, blew my mind.
It was crazy.
In Final Fantasy, in Resident Evil, you'd get like a dog and like a crow at the same time, or a dog and a zombie.
Or two zombies, or two dogs, yeah.
Yeah, but then not only would you have fire effects in part two,
mm-hmm.
you would have an amazing background, and then you would have multiple enemies attacking you.
Yeah.
Which was overwhelming because you used to only have to shoot one or two. And now you have to try to shoot four of them and they're all coming at you at the same time.
Yeah.
And that was in the first minute. And that intro cutscene,
oh man. I forgot about that. Yeah. Man.
Yes.
It's like 5-minute intro.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was made for 64 and I never put it in.
Yeah. That one I played both.
So do you think it was always bad or it just became bad? Because these new Resident Evil games.
It became bad. Because they were heading a different direction.
Mm-hmm. Once they made 4, I think they kind of screwed themselves.
No. Part 4 was good.
But that's why. I think they... Because it became more of a shooter's game, an action game.
Right. Yeah. So Elma wasn't scarce.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
Part 4 was scary, though, man. Part 4 was scary.
It was scary. I think it's the...
Really had a good look to it, too.
Yeah, it was gothic, you know, type of mm-hmm. village. Yep. I think later on when you get all the weapons and the ammo, that's when it gets less scary because you know what to do and it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
Resident Evil 5, I did not play, but from what I heard, it's not great.
They should have just called it like Mercenaries African Assault or something. It was
something.
You could have called it anything but Resident Evil.
You played 6?
I did not play 6.
I played the demo for 6. That was enough.
You played the demo?
Played the demo.
How bad was that?
It call it something else. Don't call it Resident Evil. Mm. That's it.
Sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
How did they mess it up?
I mean, Resident Evil 2, back
to Resident Evil 2. 2.
The two discs with the two stories. Did you beat both of them?
I don't know. Okay. Was it two stories or was it...
Two characters.
Once you beat it, you unlock this two stories. I don't remember.
I think... Well, because I think the intros were same, but I think...
Well, yeah, you could choose the characters and then you can go on...
Well, no. Disc one was Leon and disc two was Claire.
Was it like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You look.
Do we have it?
Check it out.
Do we have it?
We do. It's sitting right here. Where is it? Second row on top.
Oh, let me see.
Yeah, check that out. So we are opening Resident Evil 2.
Resident Evil
2. Because I want to see.
I know it was two discs, but I always thought it was kind of like Metal Gear.
Because
that one you have to beat the first part, and then you get the second part.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the first one has a picture of Leon.
Okay.
And
the second one is Claire.
Second one.
But now I don't. Now I'm confused on if it's Claire's story or Leon's story.
And it says disc 2. But, I mean, I don't know if it's kind of like Metal Gear. Because Metal Gear, yeah, I haven't played this one for so long.
Well, I think when you play on GameCube, it gives you the option of Leon's story, Claire's story. And again, I could be completely
wrong. Now here's another thing. On the GameCube one, did that one have two discs or one?
That had two discs. It did have two discs.
It had two discs. Did it?
It did have, yeah, it had the, there were toppies like that. They were stacked.
Okay. Toppies. Okay, so then, in that case, yeah.
That case.
In that case, then, it is kind of like Metal Gear. Pretty sure. Yeah, you know what I mean by Metal Gear, right?
Yes.
Okay. Pretty sure. Because I don't think if you put the Claire disc, you start as Claire. Unless you beat it.
I think you do start as Claire.
Because I think it gives you the option of who you want to pick. After you beat it, then you go back to be the other character.
Hmm. Well.
I think. I mean, there's only one way.
It's been a long time since I played it. So
yeah, same here, man. Same here.
Yeah.
And it's the HD remake for Part 2 that'll come out.
Pretty soon.
Yeah, they're making it right now.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to watch Joey play it. that'll be awesome.
You need to have your own Twitch, Joey, that we can watch you play.
Oh, Joe.
I need a Twitch.
I know. See, what else, man? There's so many great games on PlayStation, PlayStation 1. Parasite Eve.
Ooh, Parasite Eve.
Great action RPG. Oh, Silent Hill.
Oh, man.
Joey, tell us about Silent Hill.
Oh, man. Again, that game. Scared the hell out of me.
Under the cars and they grab you.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yes. The first time I came across the nurses and they lunge at you. That scared me. When
you throw the controller?
Yes, I actually did.
I think so.
I threw it and
Steven threw it for sure.
He threw it at the TV?
I don't think he threw it at the TV, but he got scared.
No, nah, man. Yeah, that game is one of the top PlayStation games. Mm-hmm. On the system. Silent Hill.
And it had 10 endings? Something crazy?
It has a normal ending. It has a good ending, bad ending.
Is it just the 3 and I just said 10?
Neutral ending. It has an alien ending. I think it has 4 or 5 endings.
I was close.
Yeah, close. Close.
Yeah, Silent Hill and Resident Evil are the only two games that have actually truly scared me.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the dogs jump out of the window in Resident Evil,
yes.
And then when the things come after you from under the cars on Silent Hill, when you just hear the ringing of the bell in the beginning of the game,
yeah.
And you're like trying to get through.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
The radio.
Yeah. Oh, the radio. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Oh no. Yeah.
Yeah.
That game was not.
The things in the air chasing you.
Yeah.
Ah! Yeah.
Silent Hills.
Yeah. That's
PT.
That was disappointing,
PT.
Man.
Rest in peace.
Rest in PTs. Good that one. Game would have been incredible. Thanks, Joe.
You guys ever played games like Valkyrie Profile either, huh?
That one I've never played.
That's an amazing game.
I never played it.
Really
is
good
it,
story.
What kind of game is it?
RPG, JRPG.
Mm-hmm.
But
turn-based?
It's all based upon like you finding like warriors and then building them up. And
that's
then
cool.
Giving them to the gods. So it's a game like, can you imagine if you're Final Fantasy, for instance, you have Barret and you're just giving it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
All that build up to level up Barret, you just give it away.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just building up all these people and you get to pick who you get to keep, of course.
Hmm.
And if you don't give as many warriors to the gods, it actually just ends the game and the gods fight you.
Wow.
Yeah, because you don't give them enough. Yeah, it's an interesting game, but the story's amazing. Each character, I don't think I played a game where each character had so much in depth about their history and stuff. And you like fall in love with these characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very awesome game.
So is it kind of like a... like a tactics sort of thing?
No, it's JRPG. Yeah.
So how do you get these characters? Do you have to fight them?
You have to find them. That's the hard part.
Find them.
Yes, find them.
Hmm.
So you could go out the game without getting some of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not too easy.
Did you ever beat it like 100% or?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
PSP, I was able to beat it 100% because I was able to go on the go. But it's like a 2D platforming game. And also it's a JRPG when you have like those random encounters.
Oh, that's sweet.
So it's pretty cool.
Is that Square? Square game?
Yep. Oh, it was Enix, actually.
Enix.
Yeah. Before the merge?
Before the merge. And nice. Another one is Chrono Cross. You guys ever play that one?
Chrono Cross. I've never played that one.
One of the best soundtracks on PlayStation.
I put it in, but I've never played it.
One of the best soundtracks on PlayStation by far.
Excellent.
Great game.
Yeah, what else, man? There's so many. I mean, I'm looking at Lost World Jurassic Park right now.
Never played that one.
It's awesome. It's like a side-scroller. But you could be a raptor, you could be a T-Rex, you could be a compy, you could be humans.
That's cool.
You could be everything.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really about all RPGs for me. Final Fantasies, Valkyrie Profile,
PlayStation,
Legend of Dragoon.
PlayStation was great for fighting games and RPGs.
Yeah, the fighters were cool. Mm-hmm. All the X-Men versus Street Fighter. Yeah.
I'm going to say it was good for single-player games.
It was. Oh, yeah. It was a single-player console. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all RPGs. Mm-hmm. And even, I think, like, Crash Bandicoot, I think that's single-player.
Yeah, the fighter. I had a lot of fighters, so I guess you could call those two-players.
Yeah, but, like, when you would show your... Like, when my friends would come over and be like, oh, look at Final Fantasy, they'd be like, I'm bored.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you would have never pull out a Final Fantasy.
I did. That's all right. That's why I didn't have very many friends. They're like, I'm not going to Kevin's house again.
Yeah, no, we never did that.
Well, you watched that intro scene on Final Fantasy and that... I mean, that should convince you to play the whole game.
Yeah.
That cutscene. Yeah, man, there's a lot of good games for PlayStation. And then PlayStation 2 came out.
Oh, man.
And that was a jump in graphics. That was...
Big jump.
That was probably the biggest jump in graphics ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From PS1 to PS2.
That was huge.
That was amazing. I bought Madden because I bought it at launch. Mm-hmm. I was older. Mm-hmm. I was able to do that. It's my first console I bought at launch.
With a DVD player.
Dude, I was stoked.
Yeah.
I was able to watch DVDs. That was the cheapest DVDs or DVD player around that time.
Yeah.
By far. Mm-hmm. But I picked up Madden, the Summoner, and I think that's it.
Did you get the Bouncer?
The Bouncer.
Did it come out right after? The Bouncer. The Bouncer.
It came out, but I was smart enough to read reviews, and I didn't get it because it was crappy.
It was fun.
It was
so much promise.
It was
fun. You like saving every 5 minutes?
Well, I just think
that's what I made you
With the Bouncer, I think that was like one of the first games announced. So you had to wait because it was in like every single
so
magazine.
So much hype.
Every single magazine, the Bouncer, because it was Square. Mm-hmm. So you wanted to see what they were going to do next after Final Fantasy IX. Mm-hmm. And they came out the Bouncer, which was like a weird brawler, like 3D brawler.
It was a bit
super weird, but I loved it. It was
fun.
It was cool.
It was so bad.
It was cool.
Played Devil May Cry were the next ones I got. Zone of Enders, Onimusha.
Mm-hmm. Onimusha.
Very good games.
They had so... How many games are in the PS2 catalog?
It's probably worth 2,000.
Jeez.
Easily.
Damn.
Don't even count Japanese. They're probably in the full 5,000s.
Oh, unbelievable. Man.
They have so many crap games on their console.
Yeah.
So, oh man. They really exploded that library. Mm-hmm. So many exclusives. You got the Kingdom Hearts, the Final Fantasy X, Final Fantasy XII, all the Metal Gears. Yeah. You know.
And then it came with the Final Fantasy XI modem and the hard drive.
I never got into that. I knew that was a pass, bro, when I saw it.
That was just strange. That was a strange addition. Then you had awesome games. You had The Beautiful Joe. You had Okami.
Never played that one.
Okami's beautiful.
Capcom.
And then you had like Mega Man X collections, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Capcom.
Best game on there is Metal Gear 3, though.
Oh, God. Snake Eater?
It's one of the top ones up there.
I actually played that one. I got about
you
halfway
play Snake
through.
Eater?
I got halfway through, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. That game was very hard for me. Because I just jumped in. That was kind of like my intro when I was at a decent age to play Metal Gear.
Nah.
It was very hard.
Do you remember?
I didn't understand who I was.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was like... Like, why they call it, like,
you're Jack.
What is this? Like, yeah, I don't...
Jack.
I don't know what's happening.
Jack.
Yeah, man. PS2 was a game changer. With the analog sticks.
Grand Theft Auto 3.
Grand Theft Auto 3.
That was a big one.
That was a game changer.
That was a big one.
Grand Theft Auto 3.
I actually beat
3.
The first one and the second one.
Yeah, I beat both of those. And then I beat London. And then...
London?
Yeah, they had the 1960s London one for PS1.
Oh, yeah, PS1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then Grand Theft Auto 3 came out. And that, to me, Grand Theft Auto 3 is the reason I don't beat video games anymore. Because so you much didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You literally just caused trouble and so killed awesome. People. And
yeah. I remember that whole map. I have it still memorized.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I can get anywhere in that game. Anywhere. But David P. would always follow the traffic laws. So when it was his turn to play, he would like get into a pizza car, he would like deliver pizzas and stop at every stoplight. So he was the worst to play that game. But yeah, that game, I don't know, just once you were able to hear like the cursing and how filthy it was,
yeah.
And then you could kill people.
Listen to the radio.
You listen to the radio.
Stations, yeah.
And you could do whatever you wanted in that game. That game, that changed everything.
Yeah. That introduced Sandbox.
Yeah.
Which is, that gift was its curse, man.
Almost everything's a Sandbox game now.
Yep.
I don't know if I like that.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I want a game that has boundaries almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's cool every once in a while to have a game where it's a sandbox, but
they released like what 10 games this year, sandbox games?
Yeah, I mean you have The Witcher, you have Dragon Age, you have as Metal Gear
Mad
considered,
Max, Metal Gear,
yeah,
Grand Theft Auto 5,
Far Cry.
Mm-hmm. Like that stuff, Elder Scrolls,
Batman.
Yeah, see, to me, like, the first Batman, when it's in the prison, Destiny. That's cool.
Yeah.
Destiny's like, that's a little different.
It's a sandbox game.
Yeah.
It's a sandbox.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You go to different planets.
Probably the worst one, actually, because it never stops.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It never ends. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was happy to play, like, I got God of War remastered, and mm-hmm. it was like, meh. But I was happy because it ended. And I was happy to play, what's that one, Until Dawn?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because it ended.
Yeah.
I was like appreciating that these games end.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm happy to play these 10-hour games.
Mm-hmm. Move it on.
Okay, fuck you whoever says I don't like these 10-hour games.
Yeah,
go
like,
home.
Like, is it lazier to make a sandbox game or to make a game that ends?
I think it's just greedier, I guess.
I think it's more work because
of microtransactions.
Yeah.
Well, true. Yeah, I know the work, it's obviously harder to make.
I love The Order. It ended.
Well, I'm glad that game ended. That game was very close to being amazing.
Very close,
very
right?
close. But yeah, 10 hours is an awesome game mm-hmm. to me. It gets you everything that you want, and
it's fun to just move on.
And seeing the end is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then PlayStation 3.
They messed up bad in the beginning. $600 they wanted,
and they
$600.
Yeah, they were fucking with you too because they were like, pick up a second job so you can afford this console. Like they told you that.
$600 for a console, guys.
I did not get it at launch.
That was the cheapest Blu-ray at the time, though, because they were going for like $1,000.
Yeah.
But still. And they had nothing. Like Resistance, and that's it.
Heavenly Sword.
Was that a launch title?
I think that was launch. Mm.
That was good. But, I mean.
Well, actually, it's a very underrated game.
$600 for two games? And they came out a year late? Because Xbox already had a year under their belt.
Mm-hmm.
And already a good library.
How much was Xbox at launch?
Not $600. I'll tell you that. That's all that matters.
See, and then what blows my mind is why they didn't learn from what happened in the previous launch.
Why did Xbox didn't learn?
Yeah.
Because they were arrogant, Kevin.
But
they said, everybody, look, fuckers, you're not going to be able to share your games to your friends.
Yeah.
Stupid. They got arrogant because they were in the lead in a way because they had a lot of people have their consoles.
But like price, too. It was $100 more than...
Because they try to shove a Kinect down your throat.
Yeah.
That they promised that they would support, but they haven't.
Yeah.
And they pretty much abandoned it. But you know what? The Kinect is freaking rad for those dance games. My wife and daughter love them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the best freaking
and
thing.
It creeps me out because it looks like I'm watching them in the background. Yeah. I'm like leaning over.
Yeah.
And the camera's like, you can see me being all creepy.
That's like, awesome. Because on a PlayStation, I don't want to hold the controller or mm-hmm. move while mm-hmm. I'm dancing. And so if I have dance, my daughter doesn't want to hold that.
Yeah.
It's an extra $40 per person.
Mm-hmm.
So it connects. It's cool for that, but they try to incorporate it like
it
in Rise,
man. Yeah,
and some other games that you would yell, but we don't want to talk.
I don't want to wave my hands and I don't want to talk. Like bottom line, give me a controller.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
Yeah,
I don't want to wave my hands. I don't want one hand to be a shield and one hand to be a sword. I don't want.
If you notice, there's nothing that supports Kinect anymore.
No,
nothing.
No,
it's done. But they don't admit it.
And the only reason PlayStation 4 camera did good because
it was sold
rare.
Separately
and
it was rare. Yeah.
So people were like, I want this.
And you know what's that? The free game that it came with was pretty cool.
Playroom?
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
And that's other than that, that was it, man. I mean, the cameras things, they got to go. Both of them. Oh, yeah, you know, also PlayStation, it was because of Twitch. And then remember, we used to see people, the recording themselves?
You have to watch them.
Let me tell you that, buddy. That was a bad mistake in the beginning. Well, you saw some lot of TNA.
A lot of naked people.
Me and Steve would stay up and watch these people.
Yeah.
And we were like wondering why they have so many followers. And all of a sudden, you see cheeks and tits. Yeah. Like, me and Steve were looking at each other like, oh my God.
Well, Steve, one time I slept at his house and he turned on his console and it was watching me sleep.
Oh, yeah. You got so
for like an hour of views. Yeah. And we had tons of viewers.
That was rad. That was cool.
Man. That's funny.
That was good use of the camera there. And that was fun for a while. Even Twitch is huge on it because of it. Mm-hmm. But does Kinect utilize that for Twitch?
I don't know. I don't know if you can do direct streaming on Xbox.
No? Why not? See,
but I don't... At the same time, I don't like that. Because now everybody's streaming.
That's their, okay, though.
But it's not.
It is. It's cool.
Because then it's going to turn out to what YouTube is. Just a mess of videos or pieces
that's
of shit.
That's fine. You don't have to look at it.
But you do. Because you can't find your video. Like, you can't find what you want because it's all over the place
now.
Yeah. Like, I never look on there. Steve loves that, by the way. I'm not a big YouTube? Fan of... I'm not a big fan of looking at people. But yeah, no, like that whole... The whole PlayStation thing, the camera. Mm-hmm. He used to sit and just look for people.
People are funny, man. Dude. But they don't mean to be. Like they think they're being like awesome.
It's weird. At the beginning, that was pretty weird.
Can we talk about everybody that owned a PlayStation at launch, their houses were filthy?
PS4?
Yeah.
Yes.
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 Everyone that owned a PS4.
That's what I'm saying,
launch,
though, see?
Yeah. Their houses were filthy.
Everybody that owned the camera and recorded... Their houses were filthy.
Mm. It was really bad.
Yeah.
It was very bad. Yeah. We got a little off track there.
Yes, we did. The PlayStation camera. PlayStation. But yeah, I mean, they never learned about the PS3's mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just thought they were untouchable.
Yeah.
Right? It felt like that. You don't tell consumers, like, hey, you can't share your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then if I would let you borrow a game, you have to pay like a $10, $20 fee, whatever it is, just to play it.
Mm-hmm.
They will lock out
Which
stuff.
I understand.
I don't. I don't understand.
Because they don't get money from GameStop.
They do digital.
But that's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
Which is why I backed out of the whole gaming thing.
Yeah.
Do digital. I don't want to go digital. I don't.
Do digital.
You don't own it.
If you're very good at
it. That's not yours.
I know, but if you're going to complain about that, do it. Mm-hmm. It'll never work.
Yeah.
It won't work yet. Maybe later.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next generation, but we'll see.
So do you think it's a good idea to go to... Hard drives instead of, like, memory cards?
Depends how big our hard drives are.
Well, they're giving you basically stock hard drives.
They got to be huge.
But obviously they're not because they want to make their money.
Yeah. I want you to keep buying them.
Well, if they go to digital age, my hard drive better be, like, 1,000 terabytes.
It won't be, though.
By that time.
It'll be 500.
Mm-hmm.
500 terabytes?
No.
I'll take it.
500 gigs.
Next generation? No.
No.
500 gigs won't fit shit. These games are, like, now 50 to 80 gigs. Each.
Well, what I really like what Nintendo Wii U did was they said you can plug any external hard drive into our console and it works.
That's cool too, but I don't want to deal with any other extra shit. I want my console to be complete.
Exactly. Mm. But that's my tipping point was Rare Replay when I had to delete like 3 games to install it.
See, I play so much on PlayStation 4. I have a 500 gig hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to play Knack again. So I'm going to delete it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play certain games. I'm going to delete it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with hard drive space so far. And I play so many games on that console.
Mm-hmm. But you play
It's going to start sucking soon because there's a lot of stuff that are on there I'm running out like permanently. Like, I don't want to delete stuff that I go back to. But
you play...
I haven't got to that point
yet. But you're a retail buyer. You have hard copies.
Right.
A lot of people, I think it's like 40% of the crowd now is becoming digital.
Mm-hmm.
So they buy 4 games. Like if they buy Destiny and Dragon Age, like
they're screwed.
They're almost done because you don't get full 500 when you have your console.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You probably get like 450.
Well, it's dumb of them, Microsoft and Sony, not to do that. If they really want to push digital, let us put it somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, they do have this whole library thing where you download from it, but still you have to wait.
But it's annoying. You got to re-download it. And if it's a huge game, mm-hmm. you have to wait God knows how long.
Yeah, and if you have bad internet.
Depending on your connection. Because
a lot of people don't have internet like we do.
No, they don't. So. Yeah, but we'll see what happens, man. But, I mean, PS3 started off really bad. They ended off really good.
Oh, they ended so strong.
But the Wii still outsold both of the consoles.
Because it was $250
because of the price.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's no, man. I think because the console is a good console. I think everybody woke up one morning and wanted to stop doing motion stuff.
Yeah, because it sucks.
I love tennis.
I mean, the Wii still has motion.
It was cool. Yeah. I mean, you did not play. You didn't play tennis when it came out in Wii Sports?
Oh, I played it. I played it until I threw away my Wii. Like, I played that thing forever, dude.
Fucking awesome, man.
I platinumed or mastered every game on that.
Yeah. I had fun with my Wii.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was great. But again, it was $250. Yeah. Yep. And
price.
And the stores are telling you, hey, this is out, but you can't have it because we don't have it. So that made people want it even more.
Right. We always want what we can't have.
Exactly.
Yep.
So I had my girlfriend at the time go in with a little cleavage and tell me when that delivery was coming, so I got one. Yeah. Play the game, man. Yeah, play it.
Play the game.
I think I owned like 4 Wii games before I even had a Wii.
Oh, wow, really?
Because I couldn't get a Wii.
Yeah.
I think I had Twilight Princess, I had Rabbids, the mini game thing. Then I had, I don't even know.
WarioWare was a great game.
Yeah, that's a good game.
The WarioWares are made for that.
Yeah.
Did PlayStation 2 have any minigame games?
No, Nintendo always had minigames.
PlayStation 2. I mean, it has like Midway's Arcade.
But it didn't have anything like a WarioWare, right?
No, I didn't have anything that I can think of.
No.
I know Xbox did.
They have Monopoly, and that's the closest thing I could think about.
Mm-hmm. Xbox had what? Viva Pinata?
That's something called Fusion City or Fusion something, mm-hmm. like a bunch of mini games.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't that much, not that many.
Yeah, PS3.
Fusion Frenzy?
Fusion Frenzy, yeah. Yeah, that was a mini game one, but that was for Xbox.
Yeah, that's original Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, PS3 started to do the catch up thing. They said, oh.
They took 3 years until they were actually a good console.
Well, they did the, Xbox has a camera, we're going to do a camera. And we're going to do motion.
Yep.
And
control. For PlayStation 3?
PlayStation Move. That's when they, because they had the eye.
They had the eye,
for
right?
PS2, mm-hmm. for like Invisimals or whatever
what
that
they
was.
What did the Move support?
I don't know.
I don't remember either.
Like, it was so bad, I didn't buy one. And no. I was a peripheral guy.
Yeah. As soon as I saw that, I was like, terrible idea.
The
stop
Move
it.
Is the one with the ball in the controller, right?
Correct.
Okay, if that's the case, Heavy Rain had that. You can use that for Heavy Rain.
But that was after. It didn't come built in.
Oh, okay.
It came
afterwards. Yeah, you're right.
I think it was like the red case, right?
Direct I think so. Yeah. They did the re-release, which actually probably would have been awesome.
I'm okay.
No, I didn't play it. Okay. I mean, I'm assuming.
I mean, you still had to move the controller. So.
Yeah, you still had it.
For Heavy Rain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't have to yank. And it always caught you off guard.
That's
too.
Another one, Heavy Rain, man.
God, Heavy Rain.
That's a good
Forgot
one.
About that mm-hmm. one.
Heavy Rain is fantastic.
That game changed a lot for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's first, like, point and click kind of thing I really like.
Did I tell you about that? Or did I.
You told us
I
about
drill
it.
Drill that down your throat?
No, you told me about it, and then you give it to me, and I think Steve took it, and he wanted to borrow it, and then mm-hmm. Steve gave it to me after.
Yeah.
And you guys gave it to me after.
Yep. I was like, play this game now. Yep. Like, it just. Oh, the Origami Killer.
Mm. So awesome.
It was good. Music, story, characters,
everything.
Huh?
Yeah, it was great. It was
one of the first games Gabby sat next to me and watched mm-hmm. me play. I played that game in 3 sittings. I beat it. Mm-hmm. 3 hours each.
Yeah, me too.
Damn.
Me too. And that was the first game my girlfriend was watching with me.
Ooh,
yeah. She's like, I want to see what happens. I'm like, you do, because this is awesome.
Yeah.
And she was like, cut off your pinky. I was like, no. Like, she's yelling at me to do all this weird stuff. And of course, I went back and did everything differently. And then at the end of the PlayStation 3, you had Beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I love. I love Beyond.
It would change the game for PS3 was Metal Gear 4, because that's when everybody had justified buying that console.
Yeah, I think
do you remember that?
I think Devil May Cry 4 came out before Metal Gear 4.
But that was for both consoles.
No, Devil May Cry 4 was PlayStation only. Because DMC was the first dualies, I think.
Devil May Cry 4 was on both consoles.
Both at launch?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Metal Gear 4 was a big thing.
Yeah, but I bought Devil May Cry as this will hold me over until Metal Gear. And then I bought Metal Gear 4, and then that weird commercial played. I was like, what is this?
Oh, intro. Dude, the intro? I forgot about that.
Commercial
I think they were all different,
right? You get to change the channel?
Yeah, there's like 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah, it was like the workout one. I was like, what is this?
So awesome. I remember that too.
Again, I had no idea what was going on, so none of it made sense. I played
They did like a RoboCop thing.
Right? Yeah, yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah,
that game got perfect tens from everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they did a good job at the end. Mm-hmm. I liked it what they did.
The Uncharted series.
Mm-hmm. Did a really good job. Else?
Last of Us.
Oh, Last of Us. That yeah, that came one. Out there. PS3. That was one of the last games released. Mm-hmm. I think they're still releasing a couple games here.
See, when Last of Us came out, we're like, okay, here it is, the mm-hmm. graphics. And then they stop. Well, new console coming out.
Yeah. Mm. And then they give you Last of Us again.
Yeah. Remaster.
Yeah, which looked beautiful.
Mm-hmm. See how Star Wars looks?
Oh, God.
Battlefront?
Yes.
So real.
It makes me want to play it. Yeah, that looks beautiful. I'm very excited to see where this generation of PlayStation and Xbox takes us. I think it's, I mean, I'm not worried about it looking good.
It's
I,
taken a while, it. Though. It's already the third year they've been out.
I think they released a year and a half too early. I think they should have waited.
I think so, too.
Because Last of Us was like, okay, this is what we have. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. And then that was like the last good-looking game on there. Yeah. What about, oh, no, Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto looks incredible. Mm-hmm. That game looks, for as big as it is, it looks incredible. And then that's it. I think those are like the two games that kind of define the graphics on each console. And
yeah, the last generation. Mm-hmm.
Mm. And then they stopped and then just remastered them. It's like, why can't you just make it for this one?
It's okay. They're making stuff look better. Yeah. I get it. And the consoles this time were reasonable.
Yeah, they weren't. Well, Xbox was $6.
No, it's $5. Xbox was $4.99. PlayStation was $3.99.
It's still so much money.
It is. That was a mistake.
For us... We buy everything, so it was a problem.
They were able to drop it to $350 without the Kinect. Can you imagine if they did that at launch? It would have been a good jump start for Xbox.
I think they'd be tied right now.
I think it'd be more than. I think Xbox would probably get them.
Yeah.
If it was $50 cheaper?
Yeah.
You know, because there wasn't too much difference. They had the same games in the beginning. Same fucking games.
Yeah. It's all price, man. Yeah. It's all about price, and PlayStation is about to do another drop. They're already done.
$350.
It already happened?
Oh, yeah. It already happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So. They've been on top.
Destruction.
Yep.
3-1.
Mm-hmm. So. But I think it's going to be like what PlayStation did at the end of.
If Xbox shows up like PlayStation showed up three, I'll love it. Please do.
Yeah.
Because I'm not liking them too much because they don't pump out. I mean, not much.
There's nothing. Well, nobody's pumping out anything. Nintendo's not doing anything. PlayStation's not doing anything. Xbox isn't
Nintendo
doing
has
anything.
The most exclusives already.
Well, yeah, because nobody else will make games for them or they can't.
Yeah, but they need to get smarter. They need to start figuring out how to make next-gen graphics on their Metroid.
Yeah.
Imagine Mass Effect-looking Metroid.
Oh, my God. Realistic Metroid.
That's what I'm saying, man. What the hell?
I'll buy that.
What's wrong with you guys?
I'll buy that.
Come on.
They don't want that. They want couch co-op.
They gotta stop. Stop it. Make their couch co-op console. Make a hardcore console now.
Or just give you the option.
Give you two options. Yeah.
You can have one option.
It's not hard, man.
A controller or a pad. You can use both. Option.
And give me a normal controller. Yeah, please, Nintendo, stop.
They could have both.
Yeah.
Like they do now, but the controller has to be better.
The Pro controller is awful.
It's okay. It's a step forward.
It's a piece of shit. Like it feels like you're going to break it.
You're buff, bruh.
Well, I do like 3 push-ups a day.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
I think we're done, Kev.
I think we're done. That was fun. Well, thank you guys for listening to the SVGB podcast, also known as the food podcast today.
Mm.
Talk with a lot of food.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So that was a good wrap up on Portland, a little bit of PlayStation and random game talk. So anything else, guys? SoCal Retro Gaming Expo, January 30th and 31st, Southern California. In the city of industry in California, you can go to
SoCalRetroGamingExpo.com.
Well, yep, that would make sense.
Or www.SuperVideoGameBros.com to get all your retro need.
There you go. You can buy retro condoms. Nope, they don't have those yet.
Retro condoms.
So would that be 8-bit? And would that be blocky?
They would be pixelated.
8-bit? Oh, pixelated. Interesting.
Sorry, babe.
16-bit, please, a little smoother. All right, guys, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week.